So we began talking about what God does for us, and we talked about a few things last time, that God is our creator and our sustainer, that God created the world through, by, and for Jesus Christ, and He holds all of these things together by the power of His Word. So you think about all the galaxies that exist in the universe and all the planets, and you think about our very own Earth and our moon, even the tide as it comes out and it goes in, and all of this is sustained by the Word of Jesus Christ and by His power. God is our Creator, therefore we have a responsibility to seek Him out and to do those things which He would have us to do. We also talked about the fact that God gives us everything. He gives us the rain, and He gives us our food, and He gives us everything that we have. And we also talked about the fact that God guards and protects us. He does this for us spiritually and emotionally and physically, and He's watching over us. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Derek. There you go. I appreciate that. He does that for us spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and He's always watching over us as we go to Him and as we pray. He is guarding us and keeping us safe and always mindful of the things that are happening. Now, Beth gave me this suggestion, especially important for young people, that God hears and answers our prayers. Now, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And here, of course, John is writing to Christians, those who have fellowship with God as they keep His commandments, we've already read this morning in our scripture reading, and have fellowship with Jesus Christ and with His blood. And beginning in verse 13, John says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Now look at this blessing, verse 14. "This is the confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." So I want us all to realize that as we go as God's children to Him in prayer, as we've been praying already this morning, perhaps in your Bible classes and also in our assembly, that God, God of the universe, God who knows so much, God who listens to so many people simultaneously offering up prayers, that His ears have been opened to you this morning. And verse 15, "And we know that He hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request which we have asked from Him." Now, I want you to notice a few other verses with me. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want us to notice and talk about this confidence that we have just a little bit. And as we've thought about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior today, in partaking of the Lord's Supper, I want us to realize that it is because of Him that we have this access to God, that we can offer up our prayers, and we know and we're confident that He is looking down upon us, that He is hearing, and that He's going to answer. Verse 17, "For He came and preached peace to you," that's Jesus Christ, who were far away, "and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." And so it is because of Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us. As Gary read this morning before we partook of the Lord's Supper, that Jesus Christ, as He came to earth and He offered Himself to be a sacrifice, and then through His blood and with His blood, He made atonement for our sins. It is by Him and through Him that we have access to God and that we can pray to Him. Look also at chapter 3 and verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. Speaking of Christ, well, verse 11, "This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access." Now, brethren, when we go to God and we pray, we have boldness, not in some arrogant type of way, not in some proud or haughty type of way, but we are bold in understanding and knowing that God is listening and God answers. You know, it's amazing to me that when I pray, that God knows who and what I'm talking about. You know, for example, if I were praying for one of you and I use your first name, how many people upon the earth exist with the same first name, but God knows who I'm talking about? Have you ever prayed for someone and you didn't know their name or you forgot their name? I have, and God knows who we're talking about. Out of all the billions of people upon the face of the earth, God knows. And it is with boldness we go to Him in prayer. Not that we are demanding what we are asking of, but we are confident without any doubt as Christians that God is listening and God is going to answer. And sometimes that answer is no. This is our confidence that God has heard, and the best answer for us right now is no. It may change later, but that's what's best, and we have that confidence. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. As Jesus is our high priest, we have a high priest who sympathizes with us. He lived in the flesh. He lived upon the earth. He was tempted in all ways as we are tempted today. Notice what is said here, beginning in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Indeed, we're weak. And we have troubles and we have difficulties and sometimes we sin. Jesus sympathizes with us in those things. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. It is with confidence we draw near to God and His throne. And the throne of grace is the throne from which every gift of God flows. And so it is with confidence we draw near, that God hears, God knows, God understands, and God is going to supply as we have need. Turn your Bibles with me to chapter 5, verse 9. Our part, verse 9, is to obey Jesus Christ. And having been made perfect, speaking of Jesus, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation. And now look in Romans chapter 8, as Jesus Christ is the high priest and He's upon the throne of God, I want you to notice this blessing which we have. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Begin in verse 33. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. The word intercede means to intervene on behalf of another. And I want us to fully understand this. And young people, I want you to see in your minds, I want you to, the best that you can, imagine what is going on. Jesus Christ, our high priest, who is sympathetic to the things which we must deal with, even the temptations, being tempted in all manners. You cannot say that Jesus Christ does not know what you're experiencing. You cannot say that Jesus has not been there. I can say this. I believe Jesus was tempted more than any of us. He could have called legions of angels down to put a stop to His arrest and Possibly we sing the song 10,000 angels, even his crucifixion, but God would have to destroy the world instantly. But he did not do that. And he is on the throne of God at his right hand, and he is interceding, he is intervening for you. He is pleading your case. As Jay already read from 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, he is your advocate. He is pleading your case. He is standing before God, the throne of God, and he is pleading your case. And he can do that because he's the propitiation for your sin. He is the one who offered himself a blood sacrifice to God, and therefore he is the one who can stand before him on your behalf and plead your case. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. God answers your prayers. There is never a time as a faithful child of God we can say that God does not answer our prayers. The answer is not always what we want it to be. There are times we do not understand what is best for us. There are times when we're not ready for a particular thing, and other things must occur in preparing us for that thing that we desire. But God, every time, answers our prayers in the way that is best for us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, "For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." In other words, if you want to enjoy life, if you want to have a good life, do what God wants you to do. Verse 11, "He must turn from evil and do good. He must speak peace and pursue it." Verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous." Now, I want you to understand this. If you are a faithful child of God today, you are righteous. The word righteous means to be in a right relationship with God. God is looking down upon you favorably. He is the giver of every good gift. He is giving you good gifts. He's leading, guiding, directing you in the path that you should go. As we serve God, His eyes being upon us and His ears attending to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God is listening and God is answering. You know, it's a great privilege to go to God in prayer. And I wonder if sometimes we don't think about the privilege that it truly is, and perhaps we neglect to pray to God. Let me ask you, what would you do if the President of the United States was coming to Tampa today and one of his secretaries called you on the telephone and says, "You know, the President would like to speak to you today"? How would you think about that? You'd probably be all excited about it. You'd get all dressed up and you would go to see the President. You'd go to talk to the President of the United States. But you know, one who is greater than the President of the United States has said, "I want to talk to you and I want you to talk to me." In a minute, we'll talk about the way He talks to us. It's through His Word. But He also wants us to talk to Him and to tell us what's going on and to lay our requests at His feet upon His throne. And how often do we neglect to take advantage of that great blessing? Creator of the universe, sustainer of the universe through Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 7 and beginning in verse 7. Here Jesus is speaking to the disciples, the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells them this. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake? He will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And let me ask you this. Do you believe this? That God is giving to you those things which are good for you right now? So I don't understand it. I don't understand why I'm in this situation and not this situation. I don't understand why I have to go through this. I don't understand why all of this. You know, we don't understand it a lot of times. But years later, after we see God's plan put in action, years later we can look back and we can see all the good God was doing for us. What do you think about those Christians who were crucified because they refused to deny Christ? What do you think about all those Christians we talked about, at least in the adult class Wednesday night, who were dipped in wax and lit alive as a living human torch? What do you think about all of them? What was the good? We know what the good is. Did they understand the good at the time? I don't know if they understood the good at the time. But we do, because through Revelation we understand that God was making a point to the world. What was the point? Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and kings of kings. And he made that point after allowing the Romans to persecute the Christians. He made that point through defeating of that nation, bringing it down. That was God's good. We ask, we receive, we seek, we find, we knock. It's open to us, those things which are good. God hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers. And we must have that confidence to approach him and to accept the goodness from his hands. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 16. And I put this in here because not only is it important for all of us, but it seems to be of great importance, especially to those who are younger. We need to know and we need to understand that God gives us the strength and the power that we need to be faithful Christians. Sometimes he uses trials and adversity to help us to be stronger, to make us into the people that we ought to be. And Peter speaks of being baptized with fire. He speaks of the fiery trials that was a strengthening of their faith. Joy, James says to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Paul tells us to rejoice even in tribulation. But God, through all of these things, he gives us the strength, the power, the energy to stay faithful to him and to make a point, a statement to the world. It's not about the physical, it's about the spiritual. Ephesians 3, verse 16, here's Paul's prayer for these brethren. The prayer should be for ourselves, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and width and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, verse 20. One of my absolute most favorite verses in the Bible. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Young people, I want you to understand this. God empowers you within the inner person. God gives you strength. Yes, there's going to be adversity. Yes, there's going to be peer pressure. Yes, there's going to be trials. Yes, there's going to be adversity. God gives you the strength as a Christian to overcome it all. Paul says to the Philippians that that is proof of your salvation. It is a statement to the world. The physical is not what is important. The spiritual is what is important. God in your life is what is important. Being a Christian is what is important. And this is the greatest evangelistic statement you will ever make to anyone in all the world. Stay faithful in adversity. Stay faithful in adversity. Some of our brethren have it more difficult than others. Some individuals are born and it seems like their life is just more difficult than others. When some get older, there are the difficulties of later life, as Solomon himself in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about. But I'm going to tell you something. Observing and watching those individuals endure their struggle of life, remaining faithful to God, makes me stronger. It proves to ourselves, to our brethren, to the world, that we have the strength. That strength has to come from God. I want to give you a couple of examples. Turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 9. I want to talk about Ananias for just a moment. Ananias. You remember that Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, was going to Damascus to persecute Christians. He was doing his very best, going around the world. He was putting them in prison. He was consenting to their death. He was persecuting the church the very best that he could. If he could wipe out all the Christians, he would be happy. And you remember a great light came from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him, asking him why he was persecuting him. Told him to go into the city and to wait. He would send a man, Ananias, there to come to him and to tell him what he must do. By the way, Paul recounts what he said, Acts 22, verse 16. Now why do you wait? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what he was told to do. Now I want you to notice that Ananias, at the very beginning, was afraid and did not want to do what the Lord told him to do. Verse 11, Acts 9, 11, this is what Jesus told Ananias to do. Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house. I want you to notice that here was a man who was afraid to do what the Lord told him to do. But he got up and he did it anyway. This is the strength that the Lord gives us. Ananias thought he would be facing imprisonment, facing death, facing persecution. And the Lord said, go anyway. And so he went. Turn your Bibles just a little further over to Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, and I want to tell you, remind you of this young man named Mark, John Mark. And you remember in chapter 12 and in verse 25 that Paul and Barnabas had been to Jerusalem and he came back to Antioch from Jerusalem with them. Chapter 13, he went on a missionary journey. In verse 4, he went. Verse 13, he became afraid and he turned around and he went back home. chapter 15 and beginning in verse 36, I want you to notice this. Paul and Barnabas were getting ready to go on a second missionary journey. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So John Mark was a big chicken. He was a young man. He went out with them. They were preaching. He saw what was going on. He was afraid. He turned around. He went back home. Here he wanted to try it again. Barnabas said, "Come on, let's go." Paul said, "Hey, you're not going with me. You're not going to go with me." So Barnabas took John Mark, and in verse 40, Paul took Silas. Now, I want you to notice this. Turn your Bible, by the way, over to Mark. Mark chapter 1. So this young man named John Mark went off on the first missionary journey. He was afraid. He went back home, possibly to Jerusalem, be with his mother again. Then he got the guts up to go again. Paul said, "You're not going with me." Barnabas said, "Come on, you go with me." This young man overcame his fear to preach the gospel and wrote one of the books in the Bible. God gives us the strength to overcome our fear and do the right thing and become great workers in His kingdom. And yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we become afraid. Yes, sometimes we may turn around and run away from doing the work as we ought to do it. And we don't give up. And we try again. And we grow. And we mature. And we succeed. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Talking about this spiritual strength for just a moment. We are confident as God's children. We approach His throne with boldness. We have no doubt. We remain faithful to our confession. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Young people. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. I want to tell you something. Young people, there's never a temptation that you are faced with that the elders, deacons, preachers, members of this congregation have not already dealt with. Go on. And God is faithful. What about? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Spiritual strength. God is going to make you strong, and God is never going to allow you to be in a situation where you cannot be victorious. That's confidence. That's the confidence that we have. And the Bible says that God is faithful. We can't count on God. We can't count on anybody. We can't count on God. I'm just going to put this book down and go home. We can count on God. God is not going to put us in a situation where we are not strong enough to deal with. I want to tell you something else. Listen up. The more difficult situation we find ourselves in, the more strength we know that God's going to give us. Because it requires more strength. There is never a time when we're in a situation that we cannot overcome it and be victorious and do the right thing. Never, never, never. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? That's the confidence. Notice what else it says. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Did he say he's going to take it away necessarily? No, he didn't say he's going to take it away. There's some of them you're going to have to endure, you're going to have to put up with. But God will always make sure that you're strong enough to deal with it and that there's always a way to get out. Let me use this little analogy. Most of you know that Dawn takes Taekwondo and Alan Michaels is an instructor of Taekwondo until recently. But once an instructor, always an instructor, right? Yeah. Now, at least where Dawn used to go to school, they told him this. It says, you never fight unless you're put in a position to fight. Now, one analogy might be like this. As they taught in her classes, it says, you always try to get out. You always find a way of escape. You don't fight unless you have to fight. There's always going to be a way of escape. Here's another analogy, too. If there's not a way of escape, that means you're strong enough to fight and win every time. You're never going to lose. Never going to lose. The only reason we're going to lose is if we're not faithful to God. Why is that? Because God is faithful. And as long as we're faithful, we're going to win every time. Always way of escape, and always able to fight and win every time. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Let's talk about this way of escape for just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. I'm just going to bring up a couple of things right here. This is what Paul says. I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Let me tell you something. This is one of the ways of escape. Put our sinful passions to death. Paul said, I did that every day. And that's what we have to do. Let me tell you something. If we're not putting those sinful passions to death, they're going to flare up and we're going to be tempted and we're going to make the wrong choices. We have to die every day. Now look at verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody in life has made mistakes. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. And I'm not going to stand up here and pretend that I haven't. Rather, I'm going to tell you something that the young people might can learn from. You older people, you can relate to this. Probably a lot of you younger people. When you look back in life and you find the mistakes that you've made, has it not been because you had the wrong company? You were running around with the wrong people. You got involved with the wrong group. You weren't hanging out with the right folks who were good, moral, honest, had integrity. Best of all, you were Christians. You were learning the wrong lessons from music and movies and TV and today video games, books, whatever it is. And those were your role models. And I look back on some of my mistakes and some of my my worst mistakes, and that was the case. If I would have been doing verse 31 and verse 33, I would never have been involved in those things. Young people, pay attention to verse 31 and verse 33. That is so often your way of escape. Don't put yourself there to start with. Don't let those negative influences into your life. Put positive, good, wholesome, godly influences in your life, and you're not going to want to do those bad things or be around them. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. I want to talk about the Word of God for just a moment. All of you are here today and you are concerned about spiritual things. You are concerned about God. You're concerned about going to heaven. Or I'm sure you would have found a reason not to be here. And I want to impress this point upon us. As we are here studying the Word of God this morning, we did so with our Bible classes this morning. We're doing so now as part of our service. Talk about spiritual strength. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, these are people who are already saved, right? Indeed. And yet we need to grow in respect to salvation. We need to be stronger. We need to be more mature as Christians. And how do we do that? By longing for what? The pure milk of the Word. Now I want to talk about, first of all, longing for, desiring. Do you have a strong desire for the Word of God? Do you have a strong desire to know what it says and the instructions that are within it? Do you have a deep devotion toward it? As Paul to those in Thessalonica speaks of loving the truth, do you have that commitment toward the Word of God? If so, you're growing in respect to salvation. Now turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I want to show you what happens when we have that attitude and we are actively pursuing God's Word and the things within it in our lives. I'm just not talking about going to church. That's part of it. As we assemble together, stir one another up for love and good works. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Here Paul writing to those in Thessalonica who had been saved, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Think about that. Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That God's Word performs its work in those who believe. So let me ask you this. How is it we grow stronger in the Lord? How is it we're growing stronger and stronger and stronger, and temptation isn't as difficult as it was the last time that came up, and we're maturing? How is it? This is the answer right here. And I want to tell you something else. If this book, the Word of God, the gospel, is not part of our lives, that which we long for, just like a little baby wanting to eat, wanting some milk, then we are not going to have the power of God in our lives. And we're going to be weak. And we're going to be sinful. And we're not going to be growing stronger. And we're not going to mature. We're not going to feel good about ourselves. The secret is learning what this book says and doing what this book says. And when we do that, God makes us stronger. And the more we do it, the stronger we get. What would happen to a little baby if you didn't feed it? We've got Alex and Alexis. What would happen if we didn't feed those little babies? How long would it take them to die? Not too long, would it? A Christian without the Word of God, how long does it take a Christian to die without the Word of God? Don't come to church, don't come to Bible class, don't be concerned about this book, don't prepare for Bible class, don't think about it. How long is it going to take a Christian to die? Not very long. What does a baby do if a baby doesn't get milk? I tell you what a baby does. You know what a baby does. Cry. Scream. Do anything he can do to get someone's attention. I need something to eat. But listen to this. What happens if you don't feed that baby for a while? That baby stops crying. That baby lays there, doesn't cry, doesn't try to get anyone's attention any longer, because that baby is dying. Now, as Christians, if we truly, 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 truly desire this book and what it says, and to live this way because we believe this is God's Word, we make that a priority in our lives, we're going to be like a happy baby that got something to eat, happy as could be, growing, maturing, stronger, life is great. As a Christian, though, you take this away, you're going to be sad, you're going to be miserable, you're going to be weak, but eventually you're going to become callous to it all. And you're not going to care any longer. Just like the baby that quit crying. Young people I know growing up, you got a lot of things to do. A lot of places to be. A lot going on. You go to church because it's where your parents go and it's where they took you, and you believe what you believe because that's what they believed and that's what they taught you. And that's fine, but that only goes so far. At some point, it's got to be you and God. And to be you and God, it's got to be you and God's book first. I encourage you, get into this book. Love it. Make it part of your life. Make it the priority in your life. Well, my time is up. Daniel, I didn't get done with the lesson. I'm sorry. I'm not going to come back to it for now anyway. I could skip over to the very end of the lesson. Yes, God judges us through Jesus Christ. But also He gives us a reward. And maybe I can impose on you just for one more minute. Just to read one more scripture. Because I want to read this one right there. If you go and get your Bibles out. Turn over this scripture for just one moment. I want us to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I want us to see what this is all about. I want us to be reminded of all of this. Because we're going through all of this for a purpose. And that is because we want to be in heaven. We don't want to be in hell. And so as we do the things we're talking about today, this is the result, as we see from the writing of Paul, as he talks about Jesus Christ coming back again in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. We're going to offer the gospel invitation. If you are a Christian this morning, you have great confidence as you access the throne of God. And I want all of us to be more confident as we're praying to God, as we're counting on God for the strength and the deliverance that He gives to all of us as His children, hearing our prayers, answering every single one. I want you to have the confidence that if Jesus Christ comes today, that We're going to rise up and we're going to be with Him, and we're going to be with Him for eternity. That is our confidence. But if you're not a Christian today, you don't have that. Unfortunately, Paul tells the flip side of that story in the next book he writes to those in Thessalonica, when Jesus Christ comes again in flaming fire, bringing retribution to those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. One or the other. We want you to have the good part. But to do that, you have to obey Jesus Christ, just like it says in the book. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you're not a Christian, you're willing to do what Jesus Christ commands you to do. We want to help you to do that, so that your confidence can be, before you leave this building, when Jesus Christ comes, you're going to be with Him and go home to be with Him for eternity. We want you to be with us. If we can help you at all, won't you come to the front now as we stand and sing.